Are you an entrepreneur that would like to quickly free up and create more cash flow and lasting wealth? Welcome to the Chris Miles Money Show. Chris Miles is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Chris will teach you how to create more freedom and more prosperity right now, not about saving 25 to 40 years from now. It's all about creating wealth and prosperity today. He's been featured on U.S. News, CNN Money, Bankrate.com, interviewed internationally on TV and radio, and has a high reputation for getting his clients fast, life-altering financial results with his company, Money Ripples. Learn more at MoneyRipples.com. Now, here's your host, Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor, welcoming again to a wonderful episode, a show that's about you guys, a show of hope, a show about cash flow and freedom today, not someday, not hoping and praying the market will smile upon you favorably, which it hasn't lately, but it's about how do we actually create that freedom and prosperity and cash flow now so you work because you want to, not because you have to. So you can do what you want, when you want, with those that you love most. And so I want to give a special shout out to you guys, because I'll tell you, over the last few weeks, I've had several of you reach out. I mean, it's amazing. We're going to Christmas time. We haven't hit the new year. And I appreciate many of you guys have been reaching out because, boy, you guys have been perfect. And the thing that's got me so excited lately is that there's so much hope that you don't think that the typical mutual funds that you guys try to invest in, you know, with 401ks and IRAs, the thing that you've been told a lot of your lives, or at least the last several decades, that is the way to go. It isn't. I've run the numbers. It doesn't work. And I love the fact that you guys are saying, hey, I'm looking for something else. You know, I'm looking for more hope. You know, give you an example. I had somebody reach out to me recently, actually just becoming a client today. And she said, hey, you know what? I was actually referred by a friend of a friend. By the way, for those who have been referring to other people on the show, thank you so much, because this lady has hope because of people just like you. She said, yeah, actually, I have a friend that's been listening to your show, told me I should listen to your show, and I think I need to help. I need help. And, you know, she's in a situation where she's been retired, but her assets are dwindling, you know, especially after a different series of events that happened in her and her husband's life. You know, assets have been dwindling, and her financial advisor said, well, you can sell off all the assets you have and live off the rest and hope it works. And she reached out to me, and I was so excited, because even for a situation like that, which could be tougher than a lot of situations I dealt with, where many of you are just like, hey, if we got money, what do we do with it? Which is the topic of the show today. But she was like, hey, do I have hope here? Is there a way that I can actually replace some of the income I'm going to be losing? And the answer was, I mean, even though we may not be able to replace it all in such a short time period, a good chunk of it is yes, without having to sell off our assets necessarily. And so I want to thank you guys for tuning in, for showing up, for those of you who have been reaching out, because you are the reason why I keep doing this. You are the reason what gives me excitement that I have something of value for you. And I can bring you guys more hope, and that there is always hope, that there definitely is a life that can be, that you can create freedom. I had somebody else reach out to me. It was an orthodontist, and you know, I told him, hey, within about 2 years, you could be free. You could be free of the practice if you want. And, you know, you were thinking 5, but you could do it in 2. You know, we could do longer if you want. You know, it's your choice. That's the great thing. You can keep working and practicing and have that life. And so, guys, like, this is what fires me up and makes me grateful that I haven't quit in this journey all along the way. I haven't just focused on my own financial freedom, but I've been able to spread the word and give you guys hope too and education that you need. So thank you for allowing me to be that anti-financial advisor in your lives. So anyways, that's kind of Merry Christmas to me and to you. Here I want to talk about today is because many people ask me, like, hey, what do you see? You know, what can we do? And a lot of people say, you know, especially in the financial world, they'll say, hey, you know, it's all about asset allocation, right? You know, where do you take your assets and where do you deploy them and make money? But, you know, I was speaking at an event in Dallas here a few months back, and it came out of my mouth. I said, it's not asset allocation, it's equity allocation. So what do I mean by that? So guys, so if you look at a balance sheet, and by the way, if you don't like hearing about, you know, financial terms or whatnot, I'm keeping this pretty dang light. Anyways, a balance sheet, All is on is what's on a balance sheet. To keep it simple, or you have assets and liabilities. Assets are things that you own, and I'm keeping this overly simplistic. For you accountants, I know that you're going to cringe, and I don't give a crap. So anyways, assets are things that you own, right? These are often tangible possessions, things like your cars, your home, your money in savings or in other investments or whatever it might be, right? The things that you own, right? It could be money, or it could be tangible or otherwise. Now, the other side are liabilities. Now, liabilities are often your, not just your bills, those are expenses, but these are really the things that you owe money on. These are often loans, debts, as some people might call them. Now, I want you to make it very clear that there's a difference between debt and liability. Liabilities are things that where you owe money on, but debt is negative equity. Debt means that you're upside down. So if you happen to owe more money on your car than it's worth, which can happen if it depreciates, right? Especially if you buy it brand new, you're going to have debt. Now, how much is the debt? The debt is whatever you're upside down on, not the whole amount of the loan. Because if you can sell off all your assets and pay off all your debts with it, you are technically debt free. In fact, you're in a position of equity. Equity is the opposite of debt. Equity, just like in a house, says, hey, I actually owe less than what it's worth. So if you were to sell off all of your assets, and after you paid off all your debts, if there's still money left over, that means you're in a place of equity. And so when I talk about equity allocation, I say this because asset allocation, they often say, great, this is what every financial advisor says, right? Like, what money do you got? What money do you have here? Let me see it. All right, great. What do you have in investments? What do you have in savings? And then I'll just play with that. Equity allocation is much more creative. And this is where I find a lot of the potential that financial advisors just don't find. I mean, one, actually, when I work with clients, I actually will analyze somebody's cash flow. We'll look at what's actually coming in and what's going out, because we want to make sure there's profit, right? We want to make sure that there's more coming in than what's going out. We want to make sure that you make more than you spend, right? If not, we want to find ways to work that without having to kill your lifestyle. We can still have fun. You don't have to be super cheap. I had somebody I talked to this last weekend when I was on a trip, and they said that, their accountant had met with them and said, hey, I live on $72,000 a year. You should too. And they're like, we don't want to. Even if we have the kids empty nested and everything, hey, we don't want to. We actually want to enjoy our life. That would require us, we want to use like at least $20,000 a month. And I said, hey, $20,000 is actually pretty conservative for some people. I work with some people that they want to make at least $30,000 a month, to get financially free. And they said, thank you. That's awesome. So naturally we want to find, but we want to make more than what we spend, right? We want to have more. So it doesn't mean you have to live, on a couple thousand a month. Although if you can do that, awesome. More power to you. I have a lot of Asian clients, and so they are some of my best savers in the world, I'll tell you. And they do great. And then they can create a lot of velocity because of it too. So we try to find money there. So when I talk about equity allocation, I'm like, hey, how do we deploy money that maybe you don't even know you have? And sometimes that is, freeing up money, not just in the budget, but it might be saving money on taxes. I've been talking to a lot of people, especially with the end of the year tax situation. It's like, hey, here's some last minute things you can do, right? And we had a show about that too, right? All those things to help even free up thousands, if not tens of thousands a year. We also, there's things we try to find with, how do we restructure debt and loans? Now, I said debt. I say that from a very traditional place. What I really mean is your liabilities. Can we restructure your liabilities to where we can free up payments? Can we free up more money every single month? I've had so many people where we freed up sometimes several hundred dollars a month, but in some cases, several thousand. I had one guy in particular where we were able to restructure some things and free up about $3,400 a month. And we had to refinance some things. We did pay down some loans, but a lot of it was through refinancing. And I'll tell you, I had an old client reach out to me recently, kind of forgot a lot of things I had taught him from 7-8 years ago. And when I saw the situation, I was like, oh my goodness, we can free up so much cash flow just from refinancing, probably even to the tune of a couple grand a month. And then on top of that, then even get that money to deploy and make more money with it. And so for example, I've had some people where we can not only refinance their mortgage, but we can even cash out money from equity because we've had a lot of appreciation in the market, right? Using equity from your house, for example, it can be a great resource. And, you know, I had somebody recently where, like I said, like their payment was pretty much going to lower anyways. So even if they did nothing, they just refinanced, they lower their payments by several hundred a month. But if we cashed out, we can get almost the same exact mortgage payment per month, and they had an extra 150 grand to use to invest. And right there, I'm like, great, we can make at least minimum, you know, $1,000, $1,200 a month just with that kind of money, right? You know, and that on that's on top of the, you know, be able to almost reduce their mortgage payment, so to speak, right? Because we can go and invest in things, whether it be with real estate, it could be with different funds, it could be oil and gas, it could be all kinds of places, right? Whatever it might be, it could be in your own business. You know, your business might be the best place to invest it. It could be we refinance to go and consolidate loans. Like I said, like with that example before, freed up $4,000 a month just by doing that, you know? So there's a lot of things we can do there. And so that's why we look at like home equity. I've had people sometimes finance their cars that they had paid off. It's like, hey, we can get some extra cash to use that way. You know, sometimes we use credit cards, but you know, we had somebody on the show recently where we talked about how he bought his whole real estate in the beginning with credit cards, and they would pay him off, and you know, and that's cool too. There's so many creative ways if you can get access to cash. In fact, a great question I've often asked myself and asked my clients is, okay, if I don't have the money, then who does, or where is it, or what do I have? And sometimes you have to do an assessment of what are the real assets that we do have, the equity that's here. You know, sometimes you might be at a place where you just barely bought your property, you know, bought your home, and so there may not be any equity to pull from that you know of. Maybe there is, and you just don't know it. You haven't, you know, talked to somebody like me and found out there's actually some other options. But you may not have that option. Well, that's fine. What else do you have? For those of you that are in business, what do you have that maybe could actually increase your revenue, increase your income? There might be some things there. You might have stuff. I have a new client that just came on recently where I think it's kind of cool. I mean, they're moving into, you know, a tiny house, so to speak, right? Now, it's not super tiny. It's nice home. I saw it and I thought, man, that's the kind of place I would stay in, at least Airbnb or something. It was great. But, you know, they're having to sell off stuff, and they've made several thousand to sell off their stuff. That could be some of that equity, those assets that you could be saying, hey, I can always buy stuff. You know, I might have too much stuff. How do I get rid of this so I can bring in more stuff in my life that doesn't just take up space, but if anything, creates income that I can actually utilize and create freedom from. Not to mention freedom of space, but freedom of finances, right? So those are the kind of things too. You know, I look at, you know, a lot of times people's savings. And we talked about recently on the show, we talked about where do you put your savings and whatnot, right? Well, to kind of follow up on that discussion, we talked about places where you can deploy cash to keep cash reserves. Well, what about money you want to invest? Now, see, this is where it gets interesting, because I've had some people say, hey, you know, this advisor told me put 10% in 10 different places, you know, allocate it in those different places, right? Put it in those different places, diversify. So I heard somebody else recently say, hey, I was told put 20% in 5 different places. Now, granted, these are all great little rules of thumb, right? But I'll tell you, like, my experience working with clients is that everybody has their own recipe, their own unique flavor for how they need to create their life and how they want to create their life and what would be considered more freeing than something else. I'll tell you, the way that I invest is not the way that you should invest, because I have my own preferences. I have my own likes and dislikes, just like you have yours. You know, just like I might have my own favorite restaurant or my own favorite movies, you've got yours, right? It's the same thing in investments. If anybody tries to pigeonhole you into some cookie cutter plan, that's when you know there's probably some hidden agenda. It's not in your benefit, it's in theirs. And so what do we do? Well, for the most part, I usually tell people if you're going to look at investments, it might be at most 3 or 4 different places. Sure, we might split it up a little bit, but that's fine. Let me talk about the smallest portion. This might be the portion you keep less than 1% of your money in. What would that be? I would say that's in things that you gamble. This might be where you buy the Bitcoin, you know, especially because it's tanked a lot. It might be a great time to buy Bitcoin right now. And yes, just a year ago, I said, stupid to buy Bitcoin. And guess what? I was right, wasn't I? At least about that. I haven't been right about everything, but at least about that I was. That was a dumb time to buy. But it was a great time to sell. But I will tell you that, you know, if maybe now, I'm not saying you buy Bitcoin, but, you know, it's definitely a better odds of success now than is later. But it's still a gamble. And so I'm not saying, you know, now if you go deep in the Bitcoin world and maybe you're an expert in it, fantastic. Then maybe you put more than that 1% in there. But if you're just going to be gambling, if you just want to have, like, here, here's play money, it won't make or break me, cool, go for it. It might be the stock market. It might be mutual funds. I had a client, you know, a new client recently say, hey, I actually might keep some money in mutual funds. Cool. All right. Well, let's just not keep a good portion of it in there because, one, I don't want to be I don't want you being taxed every year. That's if you even happen to make any money. And two, I don't want you to lose your money because I've already seen people just talk to in the last week or so that the market's dropped like 10% and they're losing anywhere from like, you know, it could be a couple grand if they've only got like maybe 30,000 in there. And some of them have had like a million or more in there and they've lost over 100 grand. I'll tell you, that's a good proof that that ignorance is more expensive than education right there. And so, you know, when I've talked to people like that, like that's why, you know, that's one big reason because you're gambling when you're sticking in the stock market. So those are the kind of things like, yeah, if you want to play with something, awesome. Make sure that's something that you don't lose any sleep over if you happen to lose it all, right? Not even just a portion, but all of it. Now, what about the rest? Now, I think when it comes to investments, you want to do something that aligns with your interests. You know, I say passions a lot, but it's not like you have to have this burning life mission passion to invest in it. It might just be that you're very intrigued by it. You think it's fascinating. You're like, this is really cool. I want to dig deeper in this. If you ever get to that place where you're thinking about a certain type of investment, and maybe you've even heard of those investments on this show, maybe some investments you're like, okay, not really my thing, which is fine. By the way, those guests I bring on the show, of course, all of them want you to do that one thing, right? And this is where I stand apart from that, saying no, everybody has their own unique thing. That could be good for somebody, but not everybody. And same thing for you. You know, if it's something like, wow, that was really cool. Like that was awesome. You know, I'm going to have one about short-term rentals like Airbnb without buying the property. There will be some of you that I guarantee will say, oh my goodness, that is the thing I want to do. In fact, that's the next episode. So look out for it. And that's true. Awesome. It could be the thing for you, but it may not be. And that's fine. But find something that does do that. You know, when I work with my clients, I tell them up front, I say, listen, one of the most frustrating things that people have with me is that I don't tell them where to invest immediately. In fact, I don't tell you where to invest at all. I give you options. I tell you the pros and cons of things that you're looking at doing. You know, I even have people that, like, as you know, I have connections of different people in different places. But it's really ultimately, it's going to be up to you to figure out where to put that, deploy that money. You know, I can help you figure out, you know, where to help you hit your financial goals based on calculations and whatnot, you know, and even bounce ideas off of what feels best. But at the end of the day, it's going to be what actually lights you up a little bit. What actually says, hey, this would be fun. If money were no longer an issue in my life, I would probably still keep doing this because I think it's kind of cool. And that is when you know you found a good investment. For some of you, that may only be a couple things. You might say there's only two places. You know, even if you knew all the stuff that we talked about, right? I don't introduce everything on this show. But if we did, you might say, yeah, there's like one or two places I liked. Good. Start there. You don't have to go and overly diversify. That is the one thing I do not like when people say, let's allocate in all these different places. That's the reason they recommend that is because they're saying, hey, I have no clue what's going to work or not. So let's just buy a little of everything. And I believe that allocating like that, like, you know, trying to diversify is really diversification. You know, it's like going to a used car lot and saying, hey, you know what? I'm going to buy five of these used cars in case at least one or two or three of these are lemons. So at least I got one or two good cars that'll work. We don't do that. We find one good car and we go with it, right? Same thing with investments is you find that one thing and you go with it. I've had some people where they already have a business and I say, hey, do you love it? You know, or do you love aspects of the business? What if we focus there? What if we put all of our effort there? I have one client right now, in fact, that when she said, hey, you know, it takes a year, but I can set up a business that I do. And really with $50,000 out of pocket, it can start paying me anywhere from $15,000 to sometimes $40,000 a month. Now think about that. If you took $50,000, it can make at least $200,000, $300,000 a year. Wouldn't you say, yeah, why am I doing all these other investments? Now, I'm not saying she doesn't do other investments because our step two is doing other investments. But for right now, I'm like, let's get as much cash as we can. Let's borrow cash. Let's see if we can get bank lines of credit that aren't even leveraged, that aren't even secured. You get unsecured lines of credit to see if we can go do this again and again and again. Because what if we can get three businesses paying you $15,000 to $30,000 a month? How would that be? You know? And then, and it's none of it's your own money. And so that's the kind of thing we've been working on right now. And for her, like her step one is let's get make as much of this income as you can that starts generating this steady source of income that gets her to over $100,000 a month. And then, yeah, if that extra money, she's like, yeah, I can go start more of these, but I can only handle three or four a year. Let's start investing in other places to quote unquote diversify the portfolio, but not to 10 different places. It might be, like I said, one, two, three places maybe outside of that to generate other streams of income. So, hey, even for the business part, something happens to that, not a problem. She's got other streams of income to help her. But that right there, gold. Why would I stop that? Do you understand what I'm saying there? So, I mean, that's the key we're talking about. So when I talk about equity allocation, we're looking at all places. You know, for her, that wasn't even equity. That's actually going into negative equity. She was going into debt to do something like that. But to secure those kind of funds, you know, oh my goodness. If we knew that we can create that kind of cash flow, I would borrow that money all day long. As much as somebody would be willing to lend me, and as much as I'm willing to do within reason, because of course, you know, with her model, she can't do more than three or four a year. So, hey, for $50,000 each, we don't need more than 150, 200 grand or so to do that. So again, allocation. So when people talk about asset allocation, I call it equity allocation. It's about how do we take all available resources, sometimes even mental capital, you know, ideas and so forth. But how do we take all of these things and put them to your use for your good? To ultimately create more cash flow, more growth, and at the end of the day, this is what creates more freedom. Because when you have more cash flow, when you know you have a lot more money coming in than what's going out, then you have more options. And when you know you have more options, that you're not just stuck with one choice because you're in a rat race, right? You're in that hamster wheel. But you know you've got options and choices, there is where you have freedom. And yes, we want to make sure we get to the place where you can pay for all of your expenses with those other multiple streams of income. So anyways, guys, like, you know, when you're thinking about the new year and you're thinking about these goals that you have for your own finances and whatnot, you know, really think about that the resources you have might be more than you expect. Just like with the woman I had talked to recently, you know, that again, because one of you gracious listeners referred somebody to be able to listen to this podcast, she doesn't even realize half the resources that she has at her disposal, and her financial advisor didn't either. And that's the magic. So guys, thank you so much for joining us today. Hey, if you've got questions for me about this kind of equity allocation and what's possible in your life, shoot me an email, chris@moneyripples.com. And let's chat. Let's see what can happen. But guys, I hope this gives you a good boost up into your new year. Gets your juices flowing, gets your creativity going so that you guys can create more possibilities and more hope and more freedom right now. Make it a great and prosperous week. We'll see you later.
Thanks for listening to The Chris Miles Money Show. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes and make us a part of your daily routine. And check out our blogs and learn more about Chris, his services, and how we can help you at moneyripples.com. Join us next time on The Chris Miles Money Show.